December 7th, 1941, Pearl Harbor comes along. Ralph, do you remember hearing about it?
Yes.
Hearing?
I enlisted in the Air Force. That was before I came to Oklahoma. Right. I got out of the service in 1944. How I got here in Tulsa and met my bride and her father, I was on my way to Colorado, back to where I was born. I was going to enroll in Colorado College, which is a small college about the size of Tulsa University and Oklahoma City University in Colorado Springs. I didn't make it to Colorado Springs that time, but I met a blonde-haired young lady, and that's how I stayed in Tulsa, went to Tulsa University, and eventually graduated and got married.
So thank God for blondes, right?
Yes. I haven't left that.
Right. Any comments about how the war years affected Blue Cross and Blue Shield?
We just coasted, really. They didn't have an awful lot of marketing programs as such, because people would hear about us, and then they'd make a phone call or request somebody to come out and, what is this prepaid health care plan you're talking about? Andy Helland and Walter McBee even hired school teachers to be their first marketing guys, and that's how we got into the schools in the early days.
Lots of word of mouth then, wasn't it?
Yes.
But there weren't any other entities promoting prepaid at the time. There was no competition at the moment, was there?
No, there was no competition until after the war. Competition started showing up. I came home from Japan after MacArthur took over there, and I was no longer in the Air Force, and I was in the infantry. Those changes happen, kind of like Blue Cross when you're in the battle of getting something started. It was kind of like a battle.
Do you think one of the reasons Blue Cross Blue Shield is such a solid name today is because they had that early start early on, or maybe that washed away as competition came along?
Well, it became a national organization rather speedily. They gave everybody the assignment of coming up with a logo and a slogan. A fellow in Minnesota, Van Steenwijk, was kind of an artist, and he sketched that out on his desk one day and submitted it to the other plans, and they adopted it, and I forget at the moment how it came to be blue.
Well, as I understand it, the blue came about when the Minnesota hospital administrator, who was responsible for patient billing, he set aside those charges of those patients with coverage under this new prepaid concept. And then to indicate that those charges were covered, he made with his pen and blue ink a blue cross on the billings to separate from those who didn't have this kind of coverage. And so the artist, I'm speculating, perhaps took his inspiration for the cross from the administrator.
You know, the hospitals were known for having a cross. That's part of what Van Steenwijk used as his inspiration, was a Christian cross.
And that changed over time.
Over time to become Blue Cross. We then went through a lot of effort and legal issues to become Blue Cross. We were sponsored at one time by the American Hospital Association. The Hospital Association spread it across the country. Oklahoma was among the first, however, to become a Blue Cross organization.
Some of the cases that they were dealing with, illnesses in the 40s.
Polio was the big one.
Polio came on strong.
Yeah. The guys that came home from World War II were primarily responsible for getting hospitals started and Blue Cross started, because all of us who were in that war had been used to getting top-notch medical care in the service. So the veterans pretty much lobbied Washington to say, we need to have a health care program for our wives and our children. The federal government then, right after World War II, expanded into encouraging it. Then in the late 40s, Harry Truman, you know, was going to have a national health insurance plan. But the reason why they didn't have a national health insurance plan at that time was because the senators all knew that there was a Blue Cross plan in their state, and they used that as a justification for not having a national government program, because let's give them time to see if they can make it work. Sure enough, it did.
Back then, you know, in the 40s and 50s, the proliferation of the Blue plans just exploded. At one time, I think there's like 120 different Blue plans, either a cross or a shield or a combined cross and shield, throughout the United States. A lot of states had two or three plans that operated. It was so common that throughout the history of the Blues, as we call it, virtually and still today, one in three Americans carry a Blue card. And there's not too many organizations that can say that. In fact, back when I was a kid, I remember people asking, well, who do you have your Blue Cross with? When they were really asking, who do you have your health insurance with? It got to be so prolific that people just looked at Blue Cross as the health insurer, you know, of choice.
And I think that's what I was alluding to earlier. Now, that's what gave you your great start.
In fact, they say, and I don't know if this is really true, but we like to brag about it. They've claimed that the Blue Cross and Blue Shield emblem is the second most recognized brand in the world, second to Coca-Cola. Whether or not that's true, I don't know. But when you stop and think about one in three Americans carry that card, that's pretty dynamic.
Interesting, we're talking about illnesses. Back then in the 40s, cancer, only 11 out of 5,000 cases. And look how prevalent cancer is today. What are we doing to ourselves?
Well, we're smoking and we're drinking.
And diet.
And we're eating badly. Lots of fat.